Going to the book of Acts today. We're going to get into the Word of God. Acts chapter number 2, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Acts chapter number 2. If you could stand for the reading of the Word of God, please. And then I'll let you be seated right after that, just for a couple of verses. Acts chapter number 2, starting at verse number 36, a very familiar passage of Scripture. When I give my title, well, if you got the text, you already know it, but you will understand why we're going here. Acts chapter number 2, starting at verse number 36, reads like this: "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same," what? "Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both," everybody say both, "Lord and Christ." He's not just a man now. He's not just God manifest in the flesh, but God has made him both Lord and Christ. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent." Everybody say repent. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of" what? "In the name of Jesus Christ for," everybody say "for," "the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of" what? "The gift of the Holy Ghost." Now this is my key verse here in verse number 39. Everyone read it together with me if you could. It says, "For the promise," everybody say "promise," "is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." I want to preach just for a little while on this topic. Don't let the promise die. Don't let the promise die. Can we bow our heads? Dear Lord, we ask you today to help me in the pulpit. Give me strength in my body and my mind. And we ask you, God, to help me to deliver what you've given me. And help someone to recognize the value of what you have given us and given them. And to help them to respond, to protect with everything they have those promises that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many years ago when I was in my mid-20s, there was a group of church folks that were out there that came about with a group of men's gathering that was called Promise Keepers. Remember that fad that kind of went through and people were traveling the country to go to these big events called Promise Keeper events. But promises are important. Promises. How many of you have ever made a promise to someone? How many's ever broken a promise to someone? How many's had good intentions of keeping the promise and it just didn't work out sometimes? So, promises are not made to be what? Broken. Promises are made to be kept. And one of those promises, I was in the doghouse last week because Sister Smith had called in the morning and I forget what the conversation was, but the last thing she said was, "Pastor, I need a ride to church today." I said, "Okay, we'll take care of it." Well, sometime between that conversation and time for my wife and my children to leave for church, I became very ill again and ended up at the doctor's office, and my dad ended up preaching for me last week. And somewhere between the time I told her, "We will take care of it," and the time my wife left, I forgot all about it. And poor Sister Smith was sitting at home wondering, why didn't I get to go to church last week? And it wasn't her fault. It wasn't my wife's fault. It was Pastor's fault. Because I completely forgot all about it under the situation of what was going on. But there are times it can be very frustrating when promises are broken. It can be very frustrating when we give our word on something. I remember a day, Brother Payne, when a man would walk up to you, shake your hand, give you his word. There was no paper signed. There was no lawyers involved. He said you had a job. You showed up on Monday, there would be a job there. He said he was going to pay you $12 an hour or $5 an hour. You could count on it on the paycheck. That's what would be on the paycheck because you had made an agreement with the gentleman. But somewhere along the way, those promises, those things that now if you don't have two lawyers involved and notarized by the bank, you might not come through on the deal. And you got to check everything. You got to watch everything. Everything has to be scrutinized to a T. And it's a shame that we live in that type of society, a very inconsistent world, a very rocky society. It's a society today that is very little that you can hang your hat on and hang your thoughts on and your concerns on that you know it's going to be consistent every single time. Say the average job today is 3 years long. 3 years for an average job, for a person to stay. I remember a day, and some of our older folks that are here today remembers people, their moms and dads would start a job at 18, 19, 20 years old, and they would retire from that factory. 30, 40 years, and they would retire from the same place, work the same job for their whole life. Those days are long gone today. Even in marriages today, if you have lived and been married to the same lady for 10 years, you're above the statistics today. That is scary, to be honest with you. Average is about 5 years of marriages lasting today. There is an onslaught. And I don't know what causes people to break their promise. Nobody goes to the front of that altar and stands before God and all of the witnesses and the best man and the maids of honor and all of those things and says, I do. Knowing that they're not going to. You start out with good intentions. You start out with right motives. You start out knowing that this is where I'm really, this is where I'm going. But somewhere along the line, something has changed. And somewhere along the line, things get a little fuzzy. They look a little different. And you start to twist and change things. And all of a sudden, you start to question yourself and question the situation. And eventually, you look back and you think, whoa. This isn't how we got here. How did I get here from there? This does not make sense. And you realize along the way, I have broken my promise. In a world of shaken, in a world of inconsistency, I would be the first to tell you as a preacher, God is not like us. How many's thankful for that? Brother Jeremy, I can tell you assuredly, when God makes a promise, you can take it to the bank. When God says He's going to do something, you can rest assured it will happen. Whether it's for the good or for the bad. You can rest assured we're in a society today that believes there's a heaven, but they want to edge around and say, well, there really might not be a hell. You can rest assured, just as surely as He said there's a heaven, there's going to be a place called hell. Just as surely as He said He would come, which He did, He also said, I'm going to come back again, which He will, and you can take it to the bank. Just as surely as He said that he would take care of His children and He would protect, and there would always be a people that would be called by His name. And assuredly, here as we stand here in 2016 in July, just as sure as there was in the book of Acts, there's a people that are still called by His name with the blood of Jesus applied to their life. And it didn't get lost in the veins of history. It didn't get lost in the traditions of society. But even yet today, some thousands of years later, we stand here today celebrating the power in the name of Jesus Christ. Because He said there would be a people that would be called by His name. And I'm glad to be a part of those people, aren't you? when you think of the millions of people around this world, billions of people around this world, if you were to line them up, would probably wrap all the way around this world a couple of times. Just think about that. Cross the ocean, cross the continents. The magnitude of people. And to think of the number of people that has a relationship with Jesus Christ, that knows Jesus in the magnitude of who he really is like you do, is a very small percentage. You're blessed. I'm thankful to be a part of that promise. You see, everybody in this world has the same opportunity. We all have the same chance. We all start at the same place, in a place called sin. The Bible says we were all born in sin and we were all shaped in iniquity. As I was at the hospital yesterday, I made a statement to someone that I was talking to there in the hospital room that was struggling with some things that were going on in their world. And I made this statement. I said, you got to understand, you can go to heaven with cancer. You can go to heaven with a broke leg, a bad arm. Sister Latrell, we can go to heaven with a bad knee. We may not shout much down here, but when we get there, we'll be able to shout again in Jesus' name. There's going to come a day, Sister Latrell, that you can play that guitar with fluidity. It'll be just be like the first day you learn. The fingers will work right in Jesus' name. But you can't go to heaven with the sickness called sin. But the problem is sometimes we want to get rid of our ailments, but we want to keep the one that's going to do us the most damage when we stand before him someday. All because we're human and we don't like change. Do I got any amens in the house? Ain't none of us like, very few people gets up in the morning and say, honey, I want you to fix me something different for breakfast today. No, usually we get up in the morning and say, honey, where's my toast? I don't want no bagel. I want toast. I want my Folgers coffee. I don't want Starbucks. It don't taste right. Change is not easy for any of us to accept. And there are sometimes we've got to knuckle down and we've got to change our patterns. We've got to change our lifestyles and we've got to change the way we think about things sometimes. Why? Not because it's fun, not because it's easy, but because we don't want the promise to die. There's another generation that's coming behind us. The value is so huge to them that if we let it slip through the cracks, where are they going to turn when it comes to eternity? Where are they going to turn when they need someone in the darkest of nights? And we've let it slip from the hands of them that matter the most, because Jesus sat down with the children and said, these are the little guys that matters. These are the little guys that has the my heart, that's gripped my heart. And the disciples wanted to push them aside, but Jesus said, no, unless you become as one of these, you won't ever make it. I imagine that was quite an insult to those big, strong men carrying swords and sailors and bankers and lawyers and doctors and everything else they were involved in. And he's standing there, they're thinking they're the big cheese, and he stands there and says, guys, you're missing it. Unless you're like this little guy here, you ain't never going to get it. You know why? This is pastor's Brent theology here. Take it with a grain of salt here. You want to know why I think he told them that? Is because if you tell one of these little children, you're going to take them to McDonald's, you can take it to the bank. They believe you. We're going to McDonald's today. Sounds pretty good, don't it? You know what? If you tell that little child, we're going to go on vacation this year. It's getting better. We're going to dream it up big, kids, all right? We're going on vacation this year. You know what them kids are going to talk about all year? Vacation, vacation, vacation. But let us get a little older. You tell your wife, honey, we're going to go on vacation this year. You know what she sits down? She starts flipping through the checkbook. She starts counting the dollars. And she thinks, we ain't going on. What's he? I don't know what he's thinking, but we ain't going on no vacation this year. The faith has changed, hasn't it? That little child don't look at numbers. They don't look at bills. They don't look at anything else. They simply look at, they said it, we're going to do it. We're going. That's all that matters. And sometimes we got to look through the perspective of a little child when it comes to God. We look at our lives and we think, man, I'm an addict. I've got this. I've got that. I got a bad attitude. I've got so much baggage going on in my life. And Jesus says, I'll take it. I can clean it up. I can fix all the mess. And we look and say, there ain't no way he can do that. Because we need to stop and look through the child's eyes and a child's perspective that says, you know what? I'm going to put all of my thoughts aside, all of my doubts aside, and if God said he can save me, I'm going to walk into his presence. I'm going to lay my life down and I'm going to turn my life over to him because I've got enough faith. He's a big enough God. If he said he could do it, I don't care how big a mess I've made, he can do it. Something about the innocence of a mind that's unfettered with reasoning. The longer you sit and think about something, you can reason it right out of your life. I mean, he's done it before. Or you can reason it right into your life. I mean, he's ever had a vehicle, and we probably all have. I'm one of those guys that can't stand to hear a tick or a knock or a ding in my car when I'm driving. If I'm driving on a highway and it's going click, 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 or I get a little shimmy in the steering wheel, we're going to the shop. It's getting fixed. I don't trust it. I ain't crashing. I'm not getting stranded somewhere. I want the thing fixed. And the longer, and you can probably attest to this, the longer you drive with it, the worse you think. I got to trade this car off. This car's got to go. It's not staying in my garage. I got to find me. You can talk yourself right into a different vehicle pretty quick. Why? Because you just reasoned yourself right why you had to have a new vehicle. You can talk yourself into anything, or you can talk yourself out of anything. But sometimes you need to just look in a biblical perspective and put all reasoning aside. And if God said he went away to prepare a place for me, who am I to question what kind of place it is, what it looks like, or anything else? He said he went to build a mansion, Sister Latrell. He was going to build one for you, and he's going to build one for me. And I hope mine's close to yours, and I'm ready to go. And sometimes we just need to look through that perspective and say, you know what? Life doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter what I think about it or what the world says. If God said it, it's true. You can take it to the bank. He's never failed a promise, and he ain't going to start now. In Acts, he made a very particular statement. At the end of telling the plan of salvation, when Peter began to preach that day, Peter made a statement that said, this promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off. He said, this is not something that's just pie in the sky that you'll never attain, you'll never reach. But his statement was, this is a promise. And it's for every person that God knocks on their door. I made a statement on Wednesday night as I was preaching, and thank the Lord we had church, and two visitors walked in the middle of preaching. Man and his teenage son, tears streaming down his face while I was preaching. It was a wonderful thing. But I made this statement as I was preaching. I said, very simply, we must recognize the value of what he came to do. We must recognize the thought process of why Jesus came. And he said this statement. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's looking at a perspective. When he looked at me and my sin, before I had found him, he wasn't looking at me as a neighbor kid. He was looking at me as a prodigal son, a son that was lost but has came back home. They just don't know it yet. He was looking at me as a child that maybe had wandered away, but he's looking at me as a child. You see, when God created man, he did not make man to be separated from him. The purpose of us being born was to have a relationship with him, to know him, to have that relationship every day. You get up in the morning and he would walk and talk with them in the cool of the evening, and when they weren't where they were supposed to be, it concerned him. But it seems like today we have resonated ourselves right out that God can't save us, and God won't be that kind of God to us. In fact, God doesn't even know where I'm at, and I'm not even sure he knows I even exist here today. I contend that is not true at all. The fact is, God sees you as his child. You just don't see him as daddy yet. That's the difference. You see, along with promises, there are something that's called blessings. When I married this beautiful, doesn't she look pretty today? When I married this beautiful lady, and I made her a promise, when you get up and go to work the next day, job looks different. Because now it's not just me that I'm going to work for. But I've promised her that I'd give her a house. Put some food on her table. I'd see to it that when we have children, those children are cared for. And they've got health care. And they've got life. And all they got all of those things that they need. And along with that promise comes what I call blessings. And along the way, there came a beautiful, handsome, correct that, young man, and a beautiful young lady. Out of that promise I made, now there's blessings that come along with the promise. There are times we get to enjoy things, and we get to do things, and oh yeah, do we have frustrating moments? I give her some this morning, I can guarantee you. We all have those frustrating moments. But every single one of us along the way, today as we sat down at the dinner table, she had fixed, we're talking about blessings now, squash casserole. If you've never had it, it's amazing. If you like squash and cheese and baked in the oven with Ritz crackers cooked into the top, it's pretty good. Making you all hungry now. You're going to sign off. And she took a turkey breast that was seasoned and cooked it in the oven. It was just perfect. As we all sat down as a family together, enjoyed dinner. That's just the blessing that comes along with the promise that I made her. And just as real as that blessing, when she got home Friday night and I was blessed to give that beautiful lady a hug, tell her I loved her. That's the blessings that come along for the ride. But if that's real in our relationship, how much more is it real in a father-son relationship? When I made that promise to her, there are pretty good things that my son gets to enjoy in life. Guns and coon dogs and bicycles and scooters when he was growing up. Vehicles and cell phones. And all the stuff that goes along with it. But here's the second thing. Sister Carissa becomes a close friend of my son, right? when we go out to eat or we spend time together, those blessings roll down because she's a friend of my son. Those blessings roll off to others. And I don't know if you realize it or want to think about it or not, but when you go into that workplace on Monday morning and you're a child of the King and God's blessings are on you, I am 100% a firm believer that when you are blessing God and you are living for God and they are blessing you, God will bless that company, because there are promises that God gives His children. And when you show kindness, as I pulled in today and Sean was out there pulling all the weeds along that sidewalk in front of the church, and I looked at him and I said, bro, God's going to bless you because you keep the house of God looking good. He said, He's already blessing me. Because we all times need to recognize that God is blessing us when we don't recognize it. But there are promises that God gives us. And one of those promises is when we bless Him and they bless us, God will bless them. I don't think it's an accident. Our company has grown to the size that it has grown. It's not because I'm a great serviceman, Jeremy. It's not because I'm super smart. It's because when I need off for something and they don't call me on Sunday because they know I'm preaching, and they show kindness to my wife and I when we need to go to a district conference or something like that. I firmly believe the reason our company is blessed is because they have blessed me as the man of God, and they show favor. And when they do that, God will show favor to that company. And sometimes we need to recognize those things and the blessings that come with the promise. But it's very easy for us to overlook the obvious. How many knows God can make cars run longer? I've seen it. He can make a tank of gas stretch a whole lot longer than it normally would. If why? Because you're His child. There are times that there's more month at the end of the month than there is money. Anybody ever been there? How many knows God has a way of making money just kind of stretch sometimes? And He shows up just at the right moment, just at the right time. Why? Because you're His child. But are we willing to let that slip from our fingers? Walk into a cruel, cold, dark, hard world and say, I can make it on my own. And God is obligated to stand back and hold back and allow you to make your own choices and own decisions, because God is a perfect gentleman. And when you hit the pavement and it hurts, do you realize how much it hurts God to stand there and not respond until you call for His help? If He was concerned about those little children, my boy was learning to ride a bicycle, and that boy wasn't doing it the way I told him to do it. Usually it was my daughter. Wasn't doing it the way I told her to do it. She goes out there and falls off and bangs up her knee and busts her head on the road. Am I, as a daddy, going to stand back there and say, well, I told you not to do it? No. Daddy's going to be there picking them up. Why? That's the blessings of being called my son or my daughter. And God will do the same for us. When we have made those decisions, when we've botched it, when we made those mistakes, God is the first one to respond and to say, let me patch it up. Let me fix it up. Oh, your marriage ain't doing so well. Well, just show up to the house of God. I'm going to give the preacher a very specific message. But here's the thing. I'm not going to tell him and I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to give him a word. He don't know who it's for. But you're going to sit there and you're going to think, oh my goodness. God, how did He he know this about my life? How did he know I was going through what I was going through? I can tell you how, because you got a big daddy up there that doesn't see you as a separated child. He sees you as his child that don't know it yet. And he gave the man of God a very specific message to your need at the very moment that you needed. And why? Because when you came to his house, that was a sign that says, God, I need some help. And when you respond, God responds. And he's there at the moment that you need him. I'm thankful in Isaiah. He said, I am he that blotted out thy transgressions for mine own sake. Notice that. He said, I blotted your transgressions out, not for you. I did it because you belong to me. He said, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Notice, he was stating this in the statement saying, you don't know it yet. I already did it. Now, if you'll just come back, there's a pardon right here, already done, right now. He said, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Micah, he said, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth over the transgressions of the remnants of his heritage? He retaineth not anger forever, because he delighteth in loving kindness. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread out our iniquities. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. John, he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. You say, what are you doing, preacher? I am giving you very specific verses from the Word of God that shows you in every single one of us how much he loves us. He didn't just pick one spot in the Bible and say, if you do it just right and you plan it all this way, then I might forgive you. No, he plastered it all over the New Testament. He plastered it all over the Old Testament with big signs saying, stop, return to me. I've already paid the price. I've done it all. Just come back home. I'm waiting on you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Notice this one in Colossians. I hope you can bear just a little bit of scripture here today. He said, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or our powers. All things have been created through him and unto him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things he might have preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things upon earth or things in heaven, and you being in time past alienated and enemies in your mind, in your evil works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him. If so be that ye continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. He made the one statement in that passage, and I'm coming to a close here in just a couple of minutes. He made one statement in that passage. He said, you were alienated, separated from God, lost in sin because of your own thinking. Because of your own mind. The price and pardon was already paid. The blood was already shed. But because we as individuals have chosen to reason in our mind why we can't serve Him, we have made our own destination through our own reasoning instead of allowing Him to be our Savior. I don't know about you, but the moment that happens, think with me very clearly, the moment that happens, there is a chasm between us and God. He said, this promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But when I choose to separate myself from the saving mercy blood of Jesus Christ, I also put a chasm to the next generation. It's very important for every single one of us to understand that if this promise is going to live on, it's going to live on through you. Let's all stand. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed here today. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. The Bible says, for we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, meaning if we die, it says we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For indeed, we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Not that what wrong, for this very thing is God, who gave unto us the earnest of the Spirit, being therefore always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are of good courage, I say, and are willing rather to be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. Wherefore we also make it our aim, whether at home or absent, to be well pleasing unto Him. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the body according to what he hath won, every whether it be good or bad. So today I want to ask every single one of us, what are you doing with the promise? Is the promise living beyond you? Is the promise moving on to the next generation? Is the promise moving to your neighbors? Is the promise moving to the people that you work with? Is the promise moving beyond just what we see and feel here on Sunday? But is that promise really translating through your life into a lost dying, hopeless world that can't keep a promise. That never knows that there was a promise made to them when they didn't even know it. For this promise is unto you and to your children. Oh, they're afar off. So today I want to ask us if we could just spend a few moments in prayer, whether at the altar, in your seat. If you want to just sit in your seat and bow your head down. But I wonder if we could just talk to God just for a couple of minutes. No one's going to bother you. This is just your opportunity to talk to God in your own way. Just tell him how much you love him and talk to him like he's your best friend. Maybe you want to renew that promise with God here today and say, God, maybe I've strayed. Maybe I've got a little sidetracked. Maybe God, maybe I ain't put the value that I needed to on what you really did for me, God. But today I'm asking you to reach down in my spirit. I'm asking you to break up this hardened ground and provoke me one more time. I've heard the message of that preacher today. God, I need something to be different in my life. Tried it my own way, God. Somehow I need you to be God again in my life. God, I'm asking you right now to walk up and down the aisles of these pews. I'm asking you to respond to every individual here today. In their heart, God, is a longing to serve you. In their heart, God, is a longing to be with you. Nobody in the flesh, in their thoughts, really want to reject you, God. It's just sometimes we just don't see how it could really ever work out in our life. And I know that frustrates you, God, but I'm asking you to give them a little patience. Give them a little space, God. Just to love them. Just be a God to them. But more than that, let them see the benefits and the blessings and the joy and the peace and the comfort and the things that you want to give them, God. And I'm asking you to be a God that doesn't get frustrated with us as saints as we kind of choose our own way sometimes and we go our own separate ways and we don't do the things that we're supposed to sometimes, God. And I'm asking you to be patient with us as a people, God, knowing that we're in the flesh and we fight against principalities and powers and carnality and the things that would resist us is the flesh, and we're stuck in this flesh, God. And I'm asking you to help us to continually, daily, to die out to you and make that old man to submit to the Spirit and make that old man push down and not let our own lives and agenda take over, but help us, strengthen us, to give us that strength to push down that old man every day. It's not easy, God. You walked in this flesh. You know what it was, God. You know what it was to feel the resistance in your flesh. You know what it was to have the devil himself to tempt you and try to set yourself up on a high place. Tried to cause you to think differently and do things and fail and let sin come into your life. It was a time, God, that you was in Garden of Gethsemane and he was tempting you again. And you said, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. That's how we feel sometimes, God. Sometimes we feel that our flesh just can't do it, and we know in our flesh we can't. Today I'm asking you to be a God to us as a church, as a people. From visitors to guests to families to homes to lives all across this place. Just wrap them up with mercy. Pull them close to you with love. Just let them know you still care about them, God, one more time. You're a good God. We love you so much. We don't deserve to feel what we feel here today. We don't deserve to be in your presence, enjoying the blessings that we have. But we want you to know we're thankful. So thankful, God. I wonder if we could stand all across this congregation today. Just going to stand in closing prayer here today.